Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Hey family, how are you? I hope that all is going well with you and yours. Give you the sound of Thabo Mafuane and the song I Am Loved coming out there from our news bulletin, our 1 o'clock news bulletin today. And it's a Monday. We're talking matters of the heart. But what we have done, we had to move Muruti from 2 o'clock. But it's just for today, ne? It's just for today. He's going back to 2 o'clock. And I am talking about Pastor Mujalifa Maluka. Listen to that, Muruti. Hey.
This is so cool. I've always wanted this.
Yeah, and Europe, man. I know. Welcome, Muruti, and how are you?
I'm well, by God's grace, I'm alive. And how are you to the family? Greetings, Sasibongi. It's so good to be back here.
It looks like we, as the family of Radio Pulpit, had a beautiful, beautiful weekend, a beautiful Freedom Day. And we got a question from Thulani Ndovu, all the way from Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. Guys, how was your Freedom Day? As we were starting the show, and we had to respond. But hey, it looks like family had a wonderful time. How was your Freedom Day?
I had a beautiful weekend. I think I had a lot of energy as well. But what I did was I did a digital detox. So actually I tried to stay away from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very helpful. I think we tend to take these things for granted, you know, that there used to be life before phones.
Yeah.
So for me, it was all about that, just trying
to digitize. And I'm glad that you did that. And that's why you had a dream at the Porter's house.
You know how those Facebook games go, you know. I told them, I was telling everyone, obviously jokingly, that I dreamt I was singing a tent song in
Go Porter's house. Like, really? Muruti,
whoever would believe that, I don't know.
Muruti, we are on part four, asking the question, is your marriage biblical or secular? And today, where are we going? Hey, Muruti, you open a lot of can of worms, but good for us. I love what the Lord is doing. When you have a cut, when you have hurt yourself, you need the cut to be cleansed. You need it to be also, I think in the Bible, they called it the balm of Gilead, where they would put that balm there on the wound and to have the wound heal. And so we need that. We need that when it comes to our marriages, our lives. And God is doing exactly that, healing marriages, healing lives, making sure that we leave to the glory of the Father, because we live anyhow. The world sets standards, but the Bible says, "Be ye not transformed." Be ye not conformed to the standards of this world. And we're looking at soapies, and we're looking at those characters. Oh, we wish to be them. from the time, and I hear my mom talking about this all the time. Whenever people are courting on TV, you know that they're also going to get involved with what married people, only that which is meant for married people. And if that's not happening, it seems like there's no love there. So thank God for you that we are putting things right in our lives, fixing where we ought to fix. Let me acknowledge Hector Sampson and my queen, Maliseri Mukwena, saying she's listening. Thank you so much, my queen. Where are we going, Muruti Mujalifa Kajin?
You said something very poignant there, Sasibongi, about we have cut ourselves. We are cutting ourselves. We are hurting ourselves as the body of Christ with some of the things that we are just willy-nilly adopting.
Mm.
We need to be careful with what we get through our ear gate and our eye gate. What are we allowing to feed the body of Christ? What are we allowing to speak to the body of Christ? Today, I want us, as we continue to talk about secularity of you know, marriage and the biblical side of it, I want us to talk about the deconstruction of marriage that we are witnessing at this current moment due to postmodernism. You know, there is a serious deconstruction that we are seeing, which is very, very concerning. That the things that are so clear in the Bible, you know, what marriage is by definition, you know, what ought to be done within the institution of marriage itself, you find that it has become a object of questioning. But what is marriage? You know, what happens in marriage? And it's because of all these things that we are allowing to feed the Bible instead of the Bible feeding our institution. So we spoke about postmodernism, and we said we live in a postmodern era where, you know, there are quite a couple of things that are happening now, like relativism, you know, where it's anything, you know, whatever I like is okay for me. Whatever you like is okay with you, as long as nobody dies. But I need to enjoy my happiness.
As long as you are happy. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you are happy, let's just keep space, you know. And there's fluidity as well. Nothing is concrete. And that goes down to issues of gender, of roles, of identities. It basically says there's nothing fixed. So
it's neither black, it's neither white.
It's neither white. If I wake up today and identify myself as a chair, it's okay. You know? So I think those are the things that we need to think about deeply, to say, what do we do in terms of the fluidity that exists in terms of postmodernism? So one thing that I think is important is for us to look into the roles of a man and a woman, the roles of a husband and a wife.
According to the word. We're going to the word.
According to the word. According to the word. What does the Bible actually teach? What is the Bible actually saying about the role of a man? And I think today we'll just stick to issues of roles and kind of saying, okay, so when it comes to this thing of deconstruction,
yes,
because so many things are being deconstructed, but the putting it back together is the challenge. We know one of the challenges we have now in the body of Christ is the issue of deconstruction. You know, there's this subject called deconstruction where people are deconstructing their faith, where they are saying, I'm dismantling it, and I will see what comes out of it.
When you go to the word, the word tells you nobody should add, neither should anyone subtract. And so when you're deconstructing your faith, what are you doing? Are you adding? Are you subtracting?
Exactly. It's one of those very difficult things to say when we are deconstructing, and the objective is to deconstruct, what are we left with? What are we left with? We are left with pieces of things floating everywhere. So we have to be careful in terms of even how we look at marriage nowadays. We need to ask ourselves, Sibongi, the question, have we deconstructed our marriages and created them using material that actually is not from God? Are we using our backgrounds more than what the Bible says? Are we using what soapies have said more than what the Bible says? Are we using what postmodernism has said more than what the Bible says? What are we doing in terms of our marriages? Is this thing still on the rock, which is Christ Jesus? Or is it based on assumptions and fears and doubts and anxieties? You know, how are we doing our faith? Are we okay with it? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it goes down to issues of you know, understanding what true femininity is, what true masculinity is, because those are fundamental issues when it comes to marriage. It's very difficult to run a marriage when we are not clear about issues of roles and identities and who we are and the role that we play. You know, I made this example the last time we spoke, that when I got married to my wife, because of my background, I was a very, very, I don't know how to explain this. I was raised by a woman, so I was very, very delicate. You know, I'll use the word delicate to be you know. And my wife was raised by her dad. So she was quite masculine in her approach to things, you know, very forceful. When I came in, I was gentle. It's que sera, sera, you know. And when you're a leader, one of the things that's important is decisiveness and assertiveness. As the head of a family, you're going to need to be assertive. You're going to need to be decisive. And I was neither. So, so you can imagine the conundrum that was in the house, because here I am trying to lead without assertiveness, without decisiveness, and here's my wife trying to manage the family with this leader that is neither one of the two, and she is those two things. You know. So you find that there are clashes in the family, Sesibongi, because we are not picking up from the Bible what the Bible teaches us about who are you. A fundamental question in the within this, the narrative of the marriage, who am I? Who am I? As I come into this relationship, who am I? And am I comfortable with who I am? And do I understand who I am? You know? So this, we need to deal with the discomfort of being a husband, the discomfort of being a wife. Because there's that sometimes discomfort, you know? There are some people that have, they haven't had a grasp of what it means to be a husband or a grasp of what it means to be,
a wife.
That is quite problematic, because if anything goes, then all challenges break loose.
Kimatata.
Because if I wake up today and say, this is the wife I want to be today, and then I become that wife, and then tomorrow I become a different wife, and I'm this kind of husband today, I'm that kind of husband tomorrow, it becomes a problem. So I've seen in some variables and some marriages where the wife and the husband say, no, the wife is the leader of the family.
Why? Because is she earning more?
I don't. I think because of the whole postmodernist embracing of things.
To I say am not no, laughing. I am not laughing. Yeah, no. But this is like really, wow.
It exists. It exists where the permutation is there is no absolute head of the family. At any given moment, the headship of the family can be rotated.
What?
Yeah, it's an issue of power dynamics.
Sure.
You know?
Muruti, I'd like us to go into the word, because there are certain issues even that the church struggle with when it comes to the roles. Can we go to the roles? Yeah. I'm so interested in knowing what God is saying about the roles. So let us know who is a husband according to the word, and who is a wife and according to the word, and what roles do they play? Because even in the triune God, there are roles. The Holy Spirit plays this role. The Lord Jesus Christ plays this role. Our Father, God, plays this role. So there's Papa God. So when it comes to a family, and I believe that everybody has got a role to play in this tricourt that we have with the Lord God, because when a marriage needs to be established by God, like you said at the beginning, it needs to start back to God. So let's take it back to God and find out our roles.
The Bible in the New Testament teaches us of the fact that, look, even in the Old Testament, a man will leave his family, his mother and father, and find a wife, find a good wife, be with that wife. And the patterns as well that we see where, you know, Isaac was looking for a wife was found for Isaac, she comes into the family, submits under his leadership. And there's this thing that, you know, Isaac's wife says before they get married, is to, they ask her, do you want to go with this man?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, in if we were to translate that, we would say, do you want to follow this man?
Okay. Yes.
Follow this family. You know, and they were talking to the servant. I understand that. But the narrative still continues, because in her following the servant, it would be going and following him to her husband. You know. The issue of, and perhaps maybe the challenge is the power dynamic element of it, the issues of power, because we understand power is such a big thing in marriage. And we understand with the development of, you know, society and so on, the issue of power dynamics has been quite an issue. The reason why men want to be heads of the family is for power reasons, you know. It's for power reasons, so this whole power thing must be dealt with. And my answer is very simple. It's not about one big power bowl. We both come into the relationship with our power that God has given us within our role. I don't know if that makes sense, because perhaps the reason why, it's almost like we are fighting for loaf brown. You know, we have this huge loaf brown, and it's not like that. There's power in being a wife.
Yeah.
There's power in being a husband.
Yeah.
That's the power of the role, Sesibongi. And sometimes I feel as if we are fighting about this thing. I'm the one with the absolute power. You are the one with the other power. It's we are wrestling over something that I think we shouldn't. Because if you know, if you understand the power of just being a woman, because there is power in being a woman, the power of being a husband, the power of being a man. When we understand the power that is associated with a certain identity, and we begin to explore that power and grow in it, it goes a very long way. So what I'm saying to the wives, you've got power.
Oh, Muruti got cut off there. I'm not quite sure what just transpired right there, but yeah, he got cut. Let's just try to get hold of him. We are in the Garden of Love. We're talking to married couples. And I see Dr. Semi Mukwena. Hello, 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 hello. Thank you so much for joining in and being with us. Saying greetings, family. Interesting discussion. Indeed. I think Muruti is back. Muruti, you were still talking about and saying to women, you have power. You've been given power. Your role comes with the power it possesses. It's good. It's for that role. You also have power, so you shouldn't be fighting for leadership.
No,
you shouldn't be fighting for power. In actual fact, I don't believe the Lord put a man to be the head for power. It has nothing to do with power.
Come on. Where's the offering basket? I think you've just summed up everything. That you needed to say about it. It's not about power, Sesibongi. It's about a divine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Work as a team. Build this thing up. raise a family for generations to come, raise a family for the community, raise a family for the nation. It's bigger than just power and the...
Oh, all right. Let's try to connect some other way with Muruti Mujalefa Maluka. We're coming back. Taking the sounds of our late brother, Sipokale Nikale Naivu, please, featuring Mabonki Mabaso, Garden of Love.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It's 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Fumana inkuthazo imihla yonke. Sikhona ku Facebook. Ngena ube ngumhlobo nawe. I Radio Pulpit Facebook. Eyoluntu lonke.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
That's where you at on Heart to Heart. I am Sibongile Mofokeng with you up until 3 o'clock right here on 657 AM. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I am not alone. I am with Pastor Mujalefa Daniel Maluka, and we are on part 4 asking the question, is your marriage biblical or is it secular? And now defining the roles of a husband and a wife. Who's who? Who does what? Who plays what role? And so we are back with him again. He was still explaining about the power. But I'd like to welcome you, my family, to can talk to us. The lines are open for you on 012-334-1322, 012-334-1322. We're live on Facebook. You can send us a WhatsApp on 082-657-2729. Okay, slowly. 082-657-2729. It's 082-657-2729. Alternatively, you can drop us an SMS on 37871. Do remember that an SMS costs 150. It's 37871. And so, Muruti, you were still explaining the power that the husband has and what the Bible says about that power, and what the woman has and what the Bible says about that power.
Yeah, so, you know, I greatly enjoyed what you said about how we have centralized the issue of power when it comes to roles, whereas it is really about functions and what God has called us to be, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got to go to what is headship. What does headship mean? What does it mean to be a husband? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be somebody's wife? Mm-hmm. And by somebody's wife, from a biblical perspective, because some of these things, like we were saying last time, are more cultural than biblical, you know, because sometimes our cultures have taken away the power that comes with being a wife. Mm. And as a result of that, it has made it very distasteful for some people to accept what the Bible says because they've confused it with what culture has done. Mm. And the when you look at Proverbs 31, woman, geez, you know, I mean, you know, that is probably one of the most powerful women one could ever see. Mm. You know, and she's a wife. She's somebody's wife. She makes sure that their husband looks good to the world. That's the power of femininity. That's the power of being a wife. You look at her, she's entrepreneurial, her husband gives her space because each role has its own place.
Yeah.
The problem is when we confuse the restrictions that have come with whatever culture we are in with what the Bible says. The Bible is a very liberating book. Mm. A wife can be at her best and a husband can be at his best and they can work together as a team, not competing, not trying to steal each other's shine, but doing their best to promote each other. Mm. So one of the things that is important, and I often say this, Sibongi, the husband is the CEO of the family.
Yes. Others call him. Others call him the foundation of the family.
Yeah, the foundation of the family, the head of the family, the CEO of the family, providing strategic leadership. You know, providing that guidance. That you know, CEOs have this thing of just providing strategic imperatives. You know, on and providing that leadership that is needed, whether it's charismatic, it's strategic, and otherwise. But here's a figurehead that people know that there is covering that is there. You know, it is incorrect for a husband to leave his wife and his kids uncovered.
What does that mean? Somebody might be saying, okay, Maurice says covered. What covered? What does covered mean?
Covered
or cover. As a husband, cover your family. What does that mean?
It means to guide, to guard, and to govern. To guide, to guard, and to govern. I've got a daughter, and she always comes to me, you know, and just wants to sit and receive guidance and receive, you know, affirmation. They are looking for leadership. They are looking for somebody who's going to provide governance. You know, the ethics of the family, the morality of the family, the spirituality of the family must come from the leadership
husband.
You know, even in our local churches, when you have won the husband, in most cases you've won the family because the husband guides, guards, and governs. So as a husband, you cannot leave your family uncovered. You know?
Yes.
And you cannot delegate that responsibility to somebody else because even in your, even in how you think, even in just, you know, how God has constructed you, they've constructed you to be able to guide God and
cover
what it takes and cover. Your wife must never feel uncovered. You know,
there are vultures out there.
There are many vultures out there. There are many vultures out there. You know, yesterday, we were busy running around the house, you know, dealing with some things, and everybody kept calling me. I'm like, leave me, guys, you know. But that's what being a husband is about.
Yeah.
Mabunom seen the outside.
Yeah.
You cannot say, go take care of it, God.
Yeah.
She's not the man for the job. You are the man for the job.
But now, can we blame this to everything that has been happening? For example, we're talking about taking care of the girl child. It has been years that we've been taking care of the girl child. And yes, the girl child needs to be protected, loved, and also what? I don't want to use your words. Muruti said governs. Now it plays in my head. But empowered. But at the cost of, now it's happening, but it's happening at the cost of the boy child, where the boy child is left behind. To an extent that I really salute organizations that would always go to schools and talk to our boys, allow them to be boys, allow them to cry, allow them to express themselves, allow them to share their dreams, because the world has shut out a man from that, has shut out a boy child from that. Doesn't it begin, didn't it begin from there, where we're saying it's all about raising women? Yes, it's good. I but when I had a child, when I had a boy, I asked myself, who's empowering my son? When I had a son, before I had didn't, I was like, yeah, it's our chance. It's a men's world. And we kind of divided the men and the woman. And so it happens in the family. We bring that in the family. Shouldn't we be blaming it on that and now correcting that as the church?
I think you're on fire today. What you have raised is massive. A husband doesn't come from nowhere.
Yeah.
A husband was once a boy. a husband was once an adolescent young man and then became a young man. There is that growth. And before they become a husband, they need to be firm and clear in their identity in across the different stages. Somebody has to be able to lay the path. And maybe that's where the problem is, that, you know, there is that disconnect between mentors and people that can guide and other men that can actually say, hey, this is how we do this. Mm. What we mean by that is the socialization of a man is critical in the creation of a husband.
Sure.
How a man is socialized, how a woman is socialized. And I do believe that as the church as well, we need to go back to examine our socialization processes within the church. To sit with ourselves and to say, are we raising chorus leaders or are we raising men and women? Are we raising ushers or are we raising men and women?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Are we raising worship leaders or are we raising husbands and wives? And that should bother us. The fact that we are seeing so many divorces in the church, so many dysfunctional families, because perhaps maybe our challenge is we are creating church service people and not people who are able to go home and sit down and make sense of what is going on. I often say we've become so good at doing church but so bad at doing life.
Here's a question from a family member, and I'm reading it, and it breaks my heart. Let me acknowledge you, Umam Pindi, first. This is Pindi. Thank you. She says she's listening. Namhlanje vele siyalalela sithi do, sithi Nkosi. Help us to be that which you have called us to be in our marriages. Now, here's a family member, Anonymous, who says, what if the husband is never there for his wife and kids and sees the guiding part as imprisonment? Eish, Murut, that breaks my heart. What do we say to the family member?
I think, you know, we also have a challenge, Sibongi, of men and women who still seek independence within an institution of teamwork and an institution of interdependence. Marriage is an institution of independence, of interdependence, not independence. It's an institution of interdependence, not independence. And, you know, it becomes very, very unfortunate when you find a man, you know, relegating his responsibility. And what I can say is, number one, pray very hard about the situation. Number two, find a way of communicating with your spouse in a respectful manner, in a manner that does not really make them feel any less of a human being, but raise some of the concerns to say, hey, you know what, love, you are not there most of the time, and it kind of leaves me very anxious, and, you know, the kids need you. Can you try and, you know, be there? And if that fails, then you try and organize, whether it's a session with your pastor or a session with a counselor or a session with a psychologist. If that fails, then you look for mentors. Who is mentoring your spouse? One thing I always say to singles is don't marry anybody that listens, that doesn't listen to anybody.
Hey, sure.
That's a recipe for disaster. Because
it's a red flag.
It's a red flag. Because when troubles come, you are going to need to call somebody to say, hey, it's not make sure yet. So you need somebody who will be open, you know, and have people that they respect at least. For even when they don't listen to you, you are able to run to the other people.
Yeah.
So I often say, let spouses do that. Let spouses connect with people that the other spouse respects, so that you can raise some of these thorny issues and trust God for the best results coming from this situation.
Another anonymous says, Spongile and Muruti, thank you for the topic, but now you find that they want to guide, but they don't want to commit. We are in relationships, we are not married, where these men don't want to commit, but they want to guide.
I think that's a difficult one, because I'm not committed to you, and you will unfortunately have to have those difficult discussions about trying to commit a name. And it's up to you as well. You have a choice as to whether you stay or you leave. Because when you can see that somebody is not interested in a fundamental thing like commitment, then you need to ask yourself, is this worth it or is this a waste of my time? Is there somebody else that can come and do the work? I was listening to a story over the weekend.
Yes.
I think the other pastor was relating a story of this other guy, a very nice guy, very, you know, powerful guy who had a friend, well, we could say a church member. They were, you know, of the other gender. And, you know, the lady had interest in this guy. The guy had interest, but he never said anything.
Sure.
And they would just, you know, relate, spend time together, but he never said anything. So they were not in a relationship.
Yeah.
Until a point where this other guy looks at this situation, is like, Allah, I don't see any hope here. And he goes and proposes the lady.
Mm.
And the lady accepts the proposal and she gets married.
And the other one says, Kanti, didn't you see me?
Yeah, the other guy says, but, and he became very resentful afterwards.
Hey, son.
But the lady, you know, yeah.
Our time is running out and family members are asking questions. Good day. My question is, should churches be teaching such from an early age? Because I feel like churches nowadays only teach about getting married, materialistic things, and people get married thinking money and materialistic things will fix everything. And young men go chasing money and young women chasing after men with money. Kanti, all we need is God's word to change our character to be like Christ. So should the churches be teaching this?
I think churches should have a lot of conversations that they need to have. And perhaps maybe our biggest challenge is that our communication is usually unidirectional. In other words, it's just one person standing on one side speaking. And there are limitations.
Maramuruti, I ask myself, okay, yeah. I understand what cell groups are about.
Yeah.
But what about men's fellowship, women's fellowship, youth gathering? What are we doing? What are we talking about? Why should we even have the same, like you said, you called it a unidirectional communication. Because these are the times, when we are in men's fellowship, when we are in women's fellowship, when we are at the youth gathering, that's where we should be discussing such matters.
They are uncomfortable conversations, let's be honest.
But at the end of the day, we fumble and disgrace the name of the Lord in our marriages, in our relationships, because of these.
True. And I think for me, that's one thing that really hit me hard when I realized just how little I knew about life and just how much I knew about church. And that really became a problem, because most of my problems were from life, not church. I did church very well.
Sure. But life.
The life thing, when the amen, the benediction was done, it was chaos.
We go out there, Murut, and we are shocked.
Yes.
Like, huh? It's like now you were talking and I was shocked. Because there are some of the things that are hidden. Yes, there are some that we know, but when we say our amen, it's awesome and powerful. We move mountains, but when we go out there, then we fail. And that needs to change. The world, Muruti talks about, they will have indaba. Because it's a sensitive issue. And they're like, indaba, what? Then we need to have these in our churches. I agree. I'm saying to the family member, yes, the churches should. And I know they are difficult, Murut.
Are very hard. It's very uncomfortable conversations, you know, because, you know, it's the harder things of life that we don't necessarily at times have very concrete answers for. But we need to accept as well that there are some things that we will learn progressively as and when we go.
Sure.
Because, you know, I learned something, Sesibongi, with one of my mentors, and he said to me, you know, you're going to change as a man, you know, as a husband. You're going to grow, you're going to change, And you'll be surprised at even some of the challenges that you are going to have that you never thought you'd have in terms of your physical health, your psychological health. And I thought he was kidding.
Hmm.
You know? And only to realize as you grow up for a year, we grow and we change and we morph and all kinds of things. But the answers are in the Bible, sister.
Oh, Alice is in the Bible. Sure, Maruti, our time is up. I wish we had more time. And you haven't finished the roles. You haven't finished the roles. We were stuck on the power.
We got stuck with power.
We will continue. Maruti, thank you so much for challenging us, raising these. And I'm challenging churches. I'm challenging leaders. I'm challenging families to start having these conversations in their spaces. Because at the end of the day, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us. So are our marriages glorifying him, or are we failing in these spaces? And may we even help our young people as they start getting involved in relationships. Let's talk. Let's open these discussions and also help guide our young people. Maruti, I'm not going to ask you to share your closing statements for the day, but I'm going to ask you to just pray for our couples for today.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring men and women before you, and we ask you, Father, to turn our hearts back to you, back to the foundations of biblical truth, and to align ourselves to what the Bible says. Help us, Lord, today in our marriages, marriages that are struggling with roles and with functions, just even with discourse and communication. Help us today, Father, to build biblical marriages. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
And amen. Maruti, for family members seeking to talk to you directly, how do they get hold of you?
Okay, I am on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I am on Facebook as well, Mujalifa Daniel Maloka.
Mm-hmm.
And I run life coaching and marriage counseling services at 072-259-4397. 072-259-4397.
Thank you so much, Maruti, for ministering unto the family. Please come back. We still need to know more about the roles. We can't be stuck on power fail. There's more. There's more. And I think even on power itself, there's more, because you have a husband who loses the job and then now they are treated in a certain way because they're no longer working. Or he himself doesn't feel valuable to the family because he's now no longer working. And it's not about money, as the family member was talking about materialistic things and all. It's beyond that. But Maruti, let's come back. We are ready to learn. We are ready to change. And we are ready to allow the Lord to glorify himself through our marriages. Have a great one, Maruti.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Family, do remember that you can find him on Facebook and on TikTok. And Dr. Percy Ingle, we have to end it to here today. We have to end it here today, Limuruti Mujalifa Maloka. But yeah, he will be back. He will be back. we will get to the end. We will get to the end. Poki Sbego, I see you as well. And my queen, Malisedi Mukwena. Yeah, such a beautiful and an informative and learning conversation. So the number is 072-259-4397. I'm crossing over to the 2 o'clock news bulletin. And we'll see you on the flip side of this.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.